for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November the 28th, 2003. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the teacher.
Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we come before you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We come before you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to touch us, Lord. Open our hearts so we can hear you. We bind any interfering spirits now in the name of Jesus. We ask you to send the angels, Lord, to stand guard. Gather up all the loose spirits around here, Lord, that are still hanging around on the property and haul them off to wherever you want them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and bless you, Lord. Give us open ears to hear, Lord. We bind all the spirits of slumber and stupor in the name of Jesus Christ. And loosen, Lord God, the spirit of attentiveness, Lord, and the knowledge and wisdom to come forth, Lord, that our eyes will be, understanding will be enlightened, and we will know what the hope of our calling is, Lord, and the power you can do this with. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You know, unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, I keep notes, you know. Sometimes I get off on a rabbit trail and I don't get back where I'm supposed to be. So I try to keep notes to keep me on the straight and narrow so that it makes sense. I want to talk to you today about magic. Magic. You know, most of you have an idea that magic is a magic show, a sleight of hand where they magician fools you into believing something has happened. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, New World Collegiate Dictionary, defines magic as the ability to control people and supernatural and natural events by supernatural means. That's the definition of magic if you look it up. The third definition down is the trickster. It means using supernatural means to effect your wishes. Now, witchcraft is divided into three parts. Witchcraft, sorcery, and divination. Witchcraft is done by compact with demons, according to Webster's Dictionary. Sorcery is done through the use of music, drugs, talisman, and aliments. And what's a talisman? A talisman, if you look up in the dictionary, is a metal disc with an image carved on it that is supposed to have supernatural power. I used to carry one around on my car keys. It was about this big around. It had a picture of an old man and a staff. Anybody know what his name was? Was St. Christopher, and he was supposed to protect me when I drove my car down the road. How many of y'all got that on your cover, huh? We got some gremlins in the attic. I mean, y'all carry a lucky penny with you. A lucky penny. Luck is the Egyptian god of good fortune, in case you're interested. When you sell someone good luck, you're wishing them a foreign god. You ask for God's grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Grace means undeserved favor. The rabbit's foot, the wishbone, those are all talismans. Allumin is something that's put together and buried to have supernatural power. You remember Shakespeare? The witches were putting together an allumin or a potion. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Well, anything that you trust to protect you other than the Lord Jesus Christ is witchcraft. Idolatry. You know, I can remember that I used to be in a charismatic coveted community, and we had ladies who went and lit candles. That's idolatry. And so that's sorcery. Divination is to try to obtain knowledge that you have no right to. Supernatural knowledge that you have no right to. Now, there is a spiritual gift called a word of wisdom. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And all Spirit-filled believers have access to it. Satan's counterfeit for that is called divination. You ever been to the gypsy fortune teller and begins to tell you things about your past that you couldn't possibly know? I once prayed for a gypsy girl who was the seventh daughter, born in the seventh daughter, born under the veil. And when she was about 13 years old, they took her in to her grandmother. And her grandmother was the chief source of income for them. She was the fortune teller. And she was dying. And she wanted to make a gift of the family spirit to this child, because she was the seventh daughter, born to the seventh daughter. And the family encouraged her to accept it. And she accepted it, and she said when she did, something cold happened to her and shivered, and she became the fortune teller. Until she got saved, and we cast it out. She couldn't tell fortunes anymore. But that's divination. And you have to be very careful. Just because something supernatural happens doesn't mean it's the Spirit of God. Now, you will have Christians who, well, I know it was God. He couldn't possibly have known that. And, you know, then that fellow who's doing it so far away, we have, unfortunately, you have lots of people who stand behind the pulpit and use divination. And so you must be endowed to be able to discern the difference. And tomorrow I will go over that, how you discern the bitter from the sweet. Okay? But if I get into that now, I won't get out. I just want to go over the... And so we look at it, and so we have sorcery and divination. Now, witchcraft is defined as controlling people or events, compact with evil spirits. Men do this through intimidation. Women do this through manipulation. But the end result is domination. Most women who have a witchcraft spirit have a Jezebel spirit. Now, there's a book back there, The Names of Jezebel, and I would encourage all of you to buy it and read it, because Jezebel has many names, and there are many spirits. And you'll have a major spirit, and under her she'll have all these different spirits, and each one of them has a little different manifestation. You need to cast them all out. Until you cast them out, you generally can't cast her out. They all have different names, and you should know them. That's what it means by knowledge. God, I release on them the spirit of... Paul said to the Ephesians, I release on you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. See? Understanding. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of understanding. My people are trampled because they don't understand. That's what he said in Hosea. Get understanding. Seek for it like it's gold. Dig for it like it's a precious treasure. Learn about Jezebel. Buy Mitzi Barton's book back there. It's a good book. It's very anointed. She's done a lot of research. And it'll be worth your while. Witchcraft, anytime you try to impose your will on anyone to control them, is witchcraft. Now, there is a line between godly discipline of your children and witchcraft. And you have to ask God to show it to you. Is it for the glory of God, or is it to put me in control so I always know what's going on? That my will would be carried out. And so, with your children, you have to spend a lot of time in prayer. A parent is expected to discipline their children. He who doesn't discipline his son hates him. He said, if your father doesn't discipline, you're a bastard. And so you need to discipline your children, but you need to walk in godly discipline. And that takes prayer. God, show me the way. Am I imposing my will because I want to be boss? Or am I trying to impose order in the family that it'll be a godly family? And Jesus will show you the answer. Now, there are professional witches. And there are people who worship witchcraft. They're the Wiccan. Someone said, the Wiccan run around barefooted all the time. I said, well, they do more than run around barefooted. Most witchcraft services and most Wiccan services are conducted in the nude because they feel that they're drawing power from nature, from this power of the nature is coming into their body, and they don't want anything to impede this foreign power from coming in. So they walk around, so they hold their services in the nude. They're white witch and black witch. The probate judge in my home county was a white witch. He was a wart charmer. Anybody had a wart would go over to him, and the judge would rub it, and it would disappear. And we, every day, every Saturday was a big day, he'd have 15, 20 people lined up in his office to get their warts taken care of. And the judge would stop, and he'd rub each one of them with a lot of oil, and they'd disappear. He was a wart charmer. That's an evil spirit. The plumber would take two pieces of a coat hanger, 90 degrees, and walk like this, and when he walks over the line, they will zip like this. He says, it's a magnetic field. Oh, but you give it to Robert, and Robert will walk all over that line, and it won't ever move. Now, it's a magnetic field. It works for everybody, but it only works for him because he has a divination spirit. If it was the power of the magnetic field and so forth, it'd work for everybody. Those things don't respect people. So you have people who have various charms. You have the Christian Science practitioner, who's neither Christian nor scientific. He's a spiritualist. And he moves by the power of witchcraft and divination. And if you accept healing from him, you will accept a demon into your body, a strong antichrist spirit that will not let you get saved. Or if you are saved, it will make you completely worthless in the church. It will draw you out of the church. You'll never be able to stand in faith again. Lee Nystrom, who's a good friend of mine in Minneapolis, tells a story of the lady who had been healed of her arthritis by the Christian Science practitioner, and he couldn't get her saved. And so he finally told her that she'd have to renounce the healing of the arthritis before God would save her. And she did. And she said her joints began just to gall like this. And so after she got saved, God healed her. Joints opened up again. But that took a lot of faith to do that. Be careful who you let pray for you. You know, when you come here, Glenn spoke up and said, no private prayer meetings, no private words of knowledge, no private thoughts. Why? I mean, if you're a man and wife, we don't tell you men and a husband can't pray for his wife. Wife can't pray for her husband. If you're a pastor and you got two people of your flock here, we don't tell you you can't pray for your flock. But we ask you, you know, don't let strangers lay hands on you, people you don't know anything about. We get all kinds of folks in. And we say, do it up here in front. Well, you've got Brother Cameron who can look and say, no, that's not right. That's for your protection. Lady came up to me and said, Brother so-and-so laid hands on me. He 2 weeks ago, and he started praying. He prayed for me, and I can't stop blaspheming. I said, the terrible things come out of my mouth. And she said, I'm cursing. I'm using blasphemous words. I'm taking the Lord's name in vain. I can't stop. I said, well, let's renounce that. This demon came out, and he disappeared. But she had someone lay hands on him who was demonized, you know. And so that's a transfer of spirits from someone who's highly demonized with witchcraft. This particular person has a lot of witchcraft in him. But you can't tell him that. He's proud. But remember this. Pride. A proud and haughty man, scorner is his name. You can't tell a scorner anything. Out of pride flows rebellion and stubbornness. Nehemiah said they were proud and stubborn. Nehemiah chapter 9. And out of rebellion flows through things. Bitterness flows down into your soul. Same word in the Hebrew, mara. And witchcraft flows out your relationship to others. Rebellion. 1 Samuel chapter 14. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft or divination. Okay? And out of that flows bondage. Bondage to what? Well, bondage to about anything you want. Bondage to fear. Bondage to drugs. Bondage to bad habits. I mean, you just about anything you want to be bound to. can be picked up by a spirit of bondage and tie you to it so you can't stop. Any of y'all ever try to stop smoking? Nobody but me and he has ever smoked before? Any of y'all ever try to stop smoking? Could you do it by yourself? I tell you, I quit. I like Mark Twain. I quit 1,000 times. Mark Twain said, anybody can quit smoking. I've done it 1,000 times. I did it 1,000 times. I'd quit in the morning and be smoking my afternoon, or else I'd quit. My friends would tell me, you didn't quit. You just quit buying. And you'd be borrowing them from everybody. But when the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, he set me free from alcohol. He set me free from drugs. Smoking. A lot of things ain't nice to talk about, but smoking took 5 years. I lay on my face for 5 years, and then one day, it was gone. You know, I'd quit. My wife, after about 3 weeks, said, why don't you take a cigarette? She said, I can't even live with you. It's just so mean. Oh, I'd gain 10 pounds or 20 pounds. But when God took it, the bondage was gone. And so, witchcraft comes out of a desire to control other people or things. To have knowledge that you're not entitled to. And so, witchcraft has lots of things. But to show you, I want you to open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 13. I'm talking here and I'm not showing you anything in the Bible. And you know, I don't like to preach, to teach, if I can't find it in the Bible. Look at Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 18. We'll start with verse 17. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart and propagate against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves, who make veils on the heads of the people for every height, to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people to keep yourself alive? Will you profane me among my people for a handful of barley and pieces of bread, killing people who should not die, keeping your people alive who should not live, by lying to my people who listen to your lies? Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like flying things. That says birds there, but that literally means flying things. It means a demon. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the holes, souls you hunt like flying things. I will also tear off the veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be prey for your hand. Then you shall know I am the Lord. You notice that they kill people. Did you know you kill somebody with witchcraft? When I was a small boy, I lived on a farm in Alabama. And down the road a little bit, we had the hoodoo. And I was always fascinated by the hoodoo. And he let me watch him work once. And he'd take a couple sticks of a bunch of little pine twigs, a little bit bigger than a match stem, a little bit larger than that. And he'd throw a handful of them that had been soaked in the mineral spring that had a lot of nitrates in it. And they would make all kind of funny colored flames. He'd stare at that, and then he'd stare at this watch case that he had that didn't have any hands on it. You could see the wheels moving, and he'd put his hand up here, and he would chant something, which now I realize was demonic tongues. This man that came in and said, I was paid last night, and I woke up this morning, and I can't find my wallet, and it's got my money in it. And so he held out his hand, he put 50 cents in it. That's 2 days' wages. And he chanted, he went through this little gizmo, and he said, I see you. You went to a party last night. I see you drunk, walking down the road. I see you stopping to drink at the big spring. I see you going behind the big oak tree at the spring. I see you pass out there. I see you get up and go home. Your wallet behind the big oak tree. He'd go down, the wallet would be there. They called him Dr. S. That was his name. People would come for 100 miles for cures. He'd give them potions. I saw a young girl came in and said she wanted this man to marry her. And he said, okay, bring me some of your menstrual cloth. And so she made up a potion and put a piece of the menstrual cloth in and said, put this in his coffee and give it to him. Spirit of lust went into that man. He had to have her. So he married her. She wouldn't sleep with him otherwise, so he married her. These are all things I know happened. I saw them happen. These are things, this is the power of witchcraft. This is the power of the demonic. I saw people get healed. Only thing Harry couldn't divine was the poker cards. He was a hopeless gambler, and He had $5 in one bank and $6 in the other when he died. Everybody thought he was rich. Sort of like doctors today, you know. Everybody thinks they're rich. Says he has gray hair that gives him the look of dignity and hemorrhoids that give him the look of gravity. And everybody in town thinks he's rich, but the bank on, he knows better. I'm sorry. I had to put that pun in. But you can serve the devil, but the devil gives with one hand and takes away with the other. He gives with one hand and takes away with the other. He is a cruel taskmaster. He treats his people real bad. People that are dedicated to him, he treats them real bad. I won't go any more there. The witches can control by soul ties. People they've dominated, people they've prayed for. They attach demons to them so that they can jerk them around. Witches can do, can extract part of the soul, like the witches in Ezekiel. Put it in a bottle. Extract your memory. Extract your emotions. Turn you into a zombie, like they do in Haiti. These very powerful witches down there. Soul travel, astral projection, project yourself, visualize something and project yourself into the vision. I think that's left the television set at home. Oh? So you visualize the living room, the television set's on, yeah. So you project yourself into the vision, reach down and cut the set off, project yourself back into your body. That sound bizarre to you? It happens. A real powerful witch can dematerialize and reappear someplace else. That's the counterfeit for what happened to Stephen. Stephen came up out of the water. 25 was in the, and he was in a town 25 miles away. But you know something? Greater is he who is in you than he is in the Lord. You don't have to be afraid of witches if you're clean. Can a witch curse you? Only if there's sin in your life. Now, what a witch will do, she will talk to a familiar spirit. That's one that she's able to manifest supernatural power through. And that familiar spirit will go out and scan you. That is, talk to your familiar spirit and ask you what kind of sin you got. That familiar spirit is sitting there watching you all the time. And you come back and tell the witch. And the witch will fashion the curse to meet your sin. Now, remember, Proverbs 26:2. Says, a curse causeless cannot light. So there's no sin in your life. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, in Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in condemnation, you shall refute and refuse. This is the privilege of the servants of the Lord. That means that you can rebuke those curses. My advice to you is, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, repent immediately. Paul said, I have always lived in good conscience before God and man. So, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, stop, confess it as sin, and then turn away and walk away from it. It doesn't mean say, I'm sorry, God, and keep on doing it. It means turn and walk away and break the curse. Numbers 23, the king of Moab had hired a very powerful prophet of God named Balak. Is it Balak or Balaam? Balaam. Balaam. And Balaam loved money. And he offered him enough money. God said, if they come back in the morning, you go with them. But there's no indication in Scripture that they came back in the morning. Balaam got up early in the morning, got on his donkey, and went. And the angel of the Lord met him on the way. And he said, don't you say anything but what we put in your mouth, or I'll slay you. And so he got up, and each time he got up, he offered a sacrifice. Each time he got up, a true prophecy came out of his mouth, a prophetic utterance from God, from Jehovah. Because he said, I got to go ask Jehovah. But he became, because of this, he became a soothsayer. And in Joshua, he was called Balaam the soothsayer. And he's spoken of intensely in Revelation and other places as the sin of Balaam. He loved money. But he said, I can't curse Israel because I can find no iniquity in her. There is no divination that will work against her. Said she'd got the strength of the star of God is there, and he went on and prophesied what was going to happen. Great prophecies, all of which came true by the Spirit of God. But then he went out and told Balak, he said, you really want to get these folks? You have your young girls go over there and invite those old boys into the service, worshiping Baal and get them involved in sexual immorality, and God will curse them himself. And so they did. And it's all recorded. And a plague fell on the people, and all the folks who got involved in sexual morality were killed, and 25,000 other people died. Because that's how God feels about sexual morality, his people. And so I say to you, don't be afraid of witches. No, but don't. God sends you there, that's fine. He'll protect you. But don't go there out of curiosity. Don't go there out of curiosity. I had a young man who went down to the punk rockers. And the authority over him said, no, you cannot go minister down there. You have enough to do where you are. But he said, well, they need salvation too. Has anybody ever told, did anybody ever tell Paul that he couldn't go save souls? Did he? Where? In Asia, Ephesus, that's right. The Spirit of Jesus would not let him go down to Ephesus. He sent him on up to Bithynia and then across over to Philippi. I'm sure you, if he'd gone on down to Asia, it would have been what the modern missionaries call a difficult missionary field, because the Holy Spirit wouldn't have been there with him. But this young man went down, and a witch sat down and talked to him and put a ring on his finger. And a spirit came into him and tormented that poor kid for 8 years. And he repented. He wept before God. And right here, I prayed for him right over there. His heels hit this ceiling as he turned in the air 2 times and hit right over there when that thing came out. It didn't hurt him. God protected him. He had angels there to catch him. But it finally came out. But we fought that thing. I prayed for him several times. And this particular time, he asked me I'd pray for him and break some soul ties. And God gave me an utterance. I break the curse of the witch. That witch, see, had a legal right. I'd had him repent. I'd had him ask God and all of this, that, and the other. But you know what he said? He said he wasn't going to ever rebel against authority again. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And so, I've talked to you about good luck charms, copper rings, bracelets, necklaces, healing charms, hexagrams, Star of David, Shield of David. Kabbalah uses those. You know what Kabbalah is? Jewish witchcraft. You know, David never saw the Star of David. It didn't appear in Jewish literature. It's a hexagram. You know what a hexagram is? Hex? You know what a hex is? What's a hex? It's a curse. Hexagram. Well, when you're calling up a demon, you draw a pentagram on the ground and you stand in the middle of it, and then when you call up the demon, it will appear in the hexagram. Y'all look at me like y'all don't believe all this. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been in all of it. I've seen it all. I don't advise you to go try to seek experience with it. It's painful, and it can be deadly. It can kill you. God doesn't take you there. He's taken me to a lot of it. I had some experience before I was saved, but I've seen a lot of it since then. Not that I really wanted to see it. I had no intentions of going looking at it, but God carried me there. I got to see it. Okay. Now, we're sort of wandering. Man's natural instinct is to want to know. This contributed to the original fall, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Want to be like God. Pride. You know, it makes you proud if you know something somebody else don't know. You know? It makes it hard for a lot of people to keep a secret. You have to be very careful who you let into your office when you're a physician, because there are certain people who just want to know hidden things so they can drop them as pearls, you know, and everybody just, I just know that. You only need one like that in your practice to ruin it for you. Hallelujah. And most of those people will lie like a rug, boy. You ask, oh, I didn't know, not me.
in the magazines, you see offer a membership in organizations that will give you supernatural power. The secrets hidden by the rich and the wealthy to hold you in bondage. And they just want to bring you into witchcraft. And they get people sucked in. Hallelujah. Well, when the Bible says you ain't supposed to do witchcraft, let's look in Deuteronomy. Chapter 19, verse 10. 18, I'm sorry. This is the most all-inclusive verse. It says, when you come into the land, what the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That's a child sacrifice. Modern thing would be abortion. Or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, that's a fortune teller. Or one who interprets omens, same thing. Or a sorcerer. We told you what a sorcerer is. It really means poisoner. One who uses drugs or music, talismans and curses and so forth. One who conjures spells, that's a curse caster. Or a medium, that's one who lets a spirit come into them and talk out of them. You go to seances, and the medium will stand there, and an evil spirit will come into their body and possess it and speak through them. The same with psychic surgery. Now, there were a lot of mediums and a lot of psychic surgeons that were charlatans, and they've been exposed. But I've seen demons talk out of so many folks that it's not amazing to me that a demon can talk out of a person. I don't like to have demons talk. I can remember one man I worked in his church, and he loved to talk to demons. Man, he'd talk to those demons for hours. But I don't walk to demons. I tell demons to shut up and come out. I don't want anything because they're all liars. I don't ask them how they got there. I tell them, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit tell me how they got there. Okay? Hallelujah. Let's see here. A spiritualist, that's one who worships spirits, the one who calls up the dead, a necromancer. That's somebody who worships the dead. The Chinese worship the dead. There are certain religions that call on dead saints. Pray to the dead. Now remember, Jesus Christ is alive. He is the only person ever been raised from the dead. He is alive today. Dead folks can't come back unless they're raised from the dead. And he is the first and the only one that's ever been raised from the dead, has a resurrection body until he gets ready to come again. The parable in Luke of Lazarus and the beggar clearly tells you that they go down to Sheol. There's a separation between them, a great gulf, and it's hot on dry on one side and an uncomfortable place to be. The devil is not in charge there. Contrary to popular opinion, the devil is not in charge of Sheol. On the other side was they took them to Abraham's bosom. Now Jesus went out into Sheol, and he took the captives, the righteous dead, to paradise with him. And establish the highway to heaven. Don't know what the highway to heaven is? Nobody in here has ever heard of the highway of heaven? Oh, come on. Come on now. Isaiah chapter 35, where God promises restoration. And he says there will be a highway of holiness. And no demon or foul beast shall be there. And that goes through the second heaven with David and the evil angels are. And when you are saved, you walk up that highway of heaven. That's that tube of light that you walk up to heaven. That transports your spirit past all the evil angels into the paradise of God. That's what it is. Read it. It's in chapter 35 of Isaiah. And he promises restoration. Water means restoration. He says there's going to be great restoration. And he will restore all things when he comes back. Okay, let's go on here. Look at verse 14 here. For these nations which you dispose listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such to do. The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren and him you shall hear. In Acts 7, 37, and in Acts 3, 1 Peter, in his sermon, after he healed the man at the beautiful gate, it's chapter 3, verse 22, for Moses surely said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things and whatever he says you shall, and shall come to pass that every soul that does not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from the people. And he goes on to say that prophet was Jesus Christ. Now the Muslims will quote you this and say that prophet is Muhammad. It was Jesus. Because all the Bible, all the prophets from Samuel on pointed to Jesus. They asked John the Baptist, are you the prophet? He said, no, I'm not the prophet. Are you the Messiah? No, I'm not the Messiah. Well, who are you? I'm one crying, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the one that's coming.
What they say, I don't really believe them. Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed it because you've cursed yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Where does it say that in the Bible? Look at Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47, verses 13. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Now let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly pronosticators stand up and save you from these things which shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble, and the fire shall burn them, and they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. Okay? That's so much for horoscopes. Now what should you listen to? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9. I think it is. Chapter 8, verse 19 and 20. When they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not as people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this work, it's because they have no light in them. Everything should agree with this. The letter and spirit of this. Doesn't agree with this, it has no light in it to the law and to the testimony. You want to know what you should do? As a source of all wisdom and all knowledge. It is medicine to all your flesh. You know that? The Bible. Look at this. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. And we're getting a little off, but we'll just run by this in case any of y'all spend a lot of money, you know, getting things that don't cure you. They just sort of suppress the symptoms. Chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs. My son. Everybody got it? My son. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in your heart, the midst of your heart. For they are life. And that word life there is not soul life. It's clay life. Life from the life of the tree of life to those who find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. That word translated health there is a standard Hebrew word for medicine. If you've got a large old King James, it'll be a marginal reading. This is medicine. How you take your medicine? Four times a day, three times a meal, and bedtime. You know it's strange. People go sit in the doctor's office 3 hours and spend a lot of money and go to a drugstore and spend a lot of money buying medicine for something that most times doesn't heal them. It just suppresses symptoms and sometimes has some real bad side effects. This will heal you. But most people will not spend an hour a day, set aside 1 hour a day to ensure health in their body. Now, you got to do other things, too. You got to obey the Word of God. You got to keep yourself from sin. Don't get greedy. Be obedient to God. But he says, read his word. He promises you in Exodus that he's going to heal you. And then he promises you he'll take all sickness away from you. Now, it's all right if you get sick. It's wonderful to get healed. But it's a lot better not to get sick. In Deuteronomy, he enlarges that and says that you won't have any miscarriages. And your cattle won't have any miscarriages. What does that mean? That means you're going to be prosperous. That speaks of the farm. That speaks of your job and your income. from the land because these were agricultural people. If their cows didn't bear calves, they went broke. Why feed a cow all year if she's not going to give you a calf? When you make a steer, you can eat him. Give meat for your family. And so, or you can sell. It means you're prosperous. I tell you, if you want a dairy farmer, a beef farmer to go broke, just have his cows not bear a couple of years. You got to feed those old cows out there, and he doesn't get anything out of them. God says, if you will obey his word and listen to his voice and obey his voice, your cows will not miscarry, and they won't be barren. You'll be prosperous, and you'll be healthy. Okay? And if you read the word, it's medicine to all your flesh, because he tells you, hear, O Israel, there's one God. You should read, meditate on my word. When you're lying down, when you're walking down the way, you'll teach it to your children. You'll put it on the doorpost. So he expects you to read it. You're commanded to. It has a benefit. You stay healthy. I encourage all of my people to read the word. Got new medicine you can take twice a day. I encourage you to read at least three and a half chapters in the morning. Sit down with it. Get your Bible. You don't have anything written in. Sit down and read 3.5 chapters in the morning, 3.5 chapters in the afternoon, and you'll get through it in 6 months. You read it twice a year, the whole thing. Read the begots and everything. Not just turn to the parts you like. Read the whole thing. You can study. If you want to study a chapter or an epistle or something, you can do that too. But read it. Just sit down with an open Bible, with a notebook, and if he shows you something, write it in your notebook. And sit down and look at it. And before long, you'll be reading what you should do in the day. He will witness scriptures to you to carry you through the tribulation of the day. And he'll keep you healthy. And you will stay under the wing of God. Praise you, Lord God. Well, hallelujah. You say, well, why is the word familiar spirit? We talk a lot in divination about familiar spirits. But the word familiar spirit only appears, does not appear in the New Testament. And that always bothered me. And I couldn't really find a good definition for a familiar spirit. You know, we know that people who've got clairvoyance and who are fortune tellers and so forth will have familiar spirits. But what is a familiar spirit? What does that mean? And I couldn't find a good definition for it. And I read everybody's book I could find. I couldn't find anything that explained to me so I could understand it. One day, I had been praying and fasting on this subject, and I got ready to go to bed. And a voice came out of the darkness in my bedroom. It said, a familiar spirit is. And that's as far as I let him get. I said, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. And there was a pause. He said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, has come in the flesh, and he is my Lord. A familiar spirit is twofold. Familiar spirit is a spirit that is assigned to your family by the enemy to observe and report on them so that all of your sins are recorded in the second heaven. Second thing he's saying, I'm paraphrasing now. He said, a familiar spirit is a spirit that you're familiar with through which you can manifest supernatural power. The spirit that you know, the medium knows that spirit. He's familiar with it. And so he manifests supernatural power through it. A witch knows that familiar spirit, and she's able to manifest supernatural power through it. Okay? I said, why does it occur only in the Old Testament? I said, in the New Testament, all spirit-filled believers have a spirit they're familiar with through which they can manifest supernatural power. The Holy Spirit. All of you have got a spirit that you're familiar with. I hope that you're familiar with the Holy Spirit. And through this, you can manifest supernatural power if you will be obedient to God in your ministry that he's called you to. Tamara manifested through a familiar spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, the gift of prophecy yesterday. And that was a pure word of God that came forth out of her mouth. She was obedient. And she spoke it out. And I'm going to tell you, she didn't get that way overnight. She had to start and step out with fear and trembling. And as you step out, God, you become more proficient with it. If you had to wait till you do it perfect the first time, you never do it. Lots of people God tries to use to prophesy, but they're afraid to open their mouth. I've seen the spirit of prophecy come down where everybody there could prophesy if they would just open their mouth. How many of them open their mouth? Maybe half of them, maybe a third of them. And with much encouraging. I mean, the people who spoke beautiful prophecy. But a lot of them just sat there and cringed down because they were afraid. That is sad. And so that's a familiar spirit. You notice that I tested that spirit before I let it talk. You ever have any type of visible or audible manifestation, you test it. A demon cannot acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. It says so in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It cannot say that. Augustine, great Saint Augustine, man greatly used of God, had one supernatural occurrence in his life. When he was an old man, he was sitting in his crib, recording, and an angel materialized in front of him, a beautiful angel. And he looked at the angel and he said, "Acknowledge Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh." And it was gone. Gone. It was an evil angel. Came to try to deceive him. Not everything supernatural is from God. The devil can appear as an angel of light, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that he will appear as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness to deceive the unwary. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Great numbers. How do evil spirits get into you? How do these witchcraft spirits, these deceiving spirits, these spirits of the occult get into you? Well, first, have any of y'all ever played with the Ouija board? Anybody in here? Nobody's ever seen a Ouija board? Okay. If you play with a Ouija board, you got a Ouija spirit. If you've been in the room and watched that pallet move, you got a Ouija spirit. You've been to the card layer. You've been to the fortune teller. You'll pick up a demon. Ever been hypnotized? Anybody ever been hypnotized in here? Pick up a demon. I mean, it's supernatural. They can put you on two chairs and make you hard as a rock and take a sledgehammer and hit you and it don't hurt you. That's supernatural. But it's not from God. It does not glorify God. It does not glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been used a crystal ball or any type, read the horoscopes? They can break it and get it in anything, anytime. Your source of authority and power is anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You can pick up an evil spirit. Anything that you reverence excessively, you can pick up a spirit from a bass fishing boat. If you reverence it enough and worship it, my wonderful boat, and you put that first in your life, anything that you put before God is an idol. And you can pick up spirits from them. They say, "Oh, come on now." Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once you start going to fishing every Sunday morning, you don't want to go back to church. You want to stay out there and fish. And folks can talk to you, and you can't hear it. It just goes right through your ears. You have a deceiving spirit that's blocking you out so you can't hear it. And a lot of folks don't want to get rid of them. They enjoy doing it. They like to do it. The same thing with fornicators. They enjoy doing it. Folks watching pornography. I like that. Why should I quit? Oh, God, Doc, I'm sitting in front of television set 18 hours a day now. I can't take my eyes off of it. And I can't get my job done, nothing. I just keep going back and do that. Lord, Doc, I don't know what's happened to me. I'm supposed to be going out on jobs to fix the plumbing. And I'm out on the gambling boat out there shooting craps. And I don't know. I just go down there. I just have to go on the gambling boat. Well, I can make more money on the gambling boat. Y'all ain't never seen going on the gambling boat at 9 o'clock in the morning and see all the painters and the plumbers and the electricians and the plasterers all sitting around holding $100 chips in their hands shooting craps. And I'm hoping they got bread in their families at home. My son took me on the gambling boat. I didn't want to go. I said, "I don't want to go. I don't want to get near that place." He said, "Oh, come on down. It's old folks' day. I want you to see what they're doing." I said, "Son, I don't want to go out this." "Well, come on." And so I went to the gambling boat. And I got on free because I was over 65. My son had paid $3 boarding fee, and we got on. And, man, the buses came in from the nurse's home, and they were pushing these old ladies and gentlemen in wheelchairs and parking them in front of the slot machine and giving them a bunch of roll of quarters. And they sitting there punching the machine, punching the button, putting their quarters in and punching the button. And that was their entertainment. And I said, okay, let's go. Well, we couldn't go because they'd cast off. And so I got to walk around and look. And I tell you, I just got ill over it. Sort of like when I walked the battlefield at Vicksburg, I heard the battle and I heard all those brave young men dying. And all those poor men that died. You know, this was horrible. It was horrible. But you can get addicted to gambling. I sat down to one man and looked at him, and he looked at me and screamed and ran off. And all of them said, what happened to him? What happened to John? They all knew him. He was a regular. I knew what happened to him. The demons in him just got so upset when I sat down next to him. Boy, they ran. They thought I was going to cast them out. Right there at the gambling boat. But I've never seen anybody so terrified in all my life. Man, he just ran. Okay. There's a lot more about the gambling boat, but I won't go into it. Praise you, Lord Jesus. The occult was revived in England. Divination. There's a book back there by Bo Fisher on the New Age in the church. You ought to get a copy and read it. It's a lot of practices that are coming into the church under the guise of healing. They're all based on yoga, which is Eastern religion. They're all based on yoga and acupuncture and acupressure and reflexology, and they're all on balancing the yin and the yang, the good and the bad flow in you. They work. They do open heart surgery under acupuncture in China. I'll always remember I went to a thing once. There was a Buddhist holy man there, and he cut things in his head and stuck flaming sticks in them, like that. And then he pulled them out, and the things healed up. But I saw the blood running down his neck. He still had the blood on his neck. And I was a medical student. And he used a Bard Parker scaffold, man. I mean, he stuck those things in there and chanted. That's demonic. I was reading an article by a man who went to a firewalking celebration. He wrote a letter to President Clinton and said, this was given by this motivational speaker. And he had several thousand people there. And they got ready to go down, and they had to put the charcoal out there. It had six lanes, and they were 15 feet long, and you had to walk across it barefooted. And you were supposed to get in tune, get up and in tune, and chant your mantra and walk. And you know something? None of them got blisters on their feet. Now, I take care of children who step on charcoal, and when they go to camp out, then they don't. And then, you know, they get big blisters on their feet, big burns from stepping on a piece of lit charcoal. And these folks walked across charcoal. Now, that's the Hindu firewalking demon. They chant Kumos, Kumos. That's the mantra they use. It was a very interesting article. I had some people, I was talking to them about firewalking in Africa, and they said, oh, those people's feet get like leather, you know, and they walk on these hot stones and doesn't transport heat very well. And so I found that, and I gave it to him. I said, now tell me that's not supernatural. And he said, yeah. You think this is true? I said, yeah, it's true. That's an Indian firewalking demon. What they do, they went to a motivational speaker, and he introduced them to witchcraft. And to prove the power, he had them walk on fire. You know, you motivational speakers have familiar spirits. They use witchcraft, and they will put a witchcraft spirit in you. They are warlocks and witches. They don't know it. They don't know any better. They're just making a living. They're not necessarily bad people. The devil has them deceived. They'll die of cancer in a little while. You kill them with cancer or something. Something will take them a long time to die. You have to go through chemotherapy and all that hair will fall out and they'll be sick as a dog. The devil will kill them very slowly, very painfully. But until then, he's got him doing his work. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I've really sort of rambled. Now, clairvoyance, What is clairvoyance? Ability to perceive things not seen. ESP, extrasensory perception. Precognition, be telling of a future event. I was here one day, and somebody came over and asked us to go and pray for this fellow. And Glenn just sent three of us over there. And these people came, and this man didn't want prayer. He was a witch, but he was drunk, and they were going to put him in a mental hospital. And so he did what they told him to. We prayed for him. He didn't get any help. I mean, he didn't want any help. We got ready to leave, and he looked over, and he said, "Jeannie, you're wanted on the phone." Then the phone rang. Picked it up. "Jeannie, it's for you." That's precognition. He knew that phone was going to ring for Jeannie before it rang. That's precognition. That's the demonic skill. Handwriting analysis, stargazing, astrology, horoscope, zodiac, hypnosis, mind reading, astral projection, soul travel, thought projection, dematerialization, channeling, crystals, pyramids, aura. I mean, you'll go to the chiropractor, and the chiropractor will run his hands over you to feel your aura. Go to a spiritual reader, and they'll run your hands over them. Or you go in, and they will do the therapeutic touch. Those are all familiar spirits. That's witchcraft. Okay. I'm sure there's something I have sort of rambled. Witchcraft, sorcery, and divination, all magic arts. Everything, I want you to realize that everything supernatural does not come from God. That's the one thing I want you to know today. And two, that if you've been involved in these things, played Mary Worth when you were a little girl and went to the slumber party. Anybody know what Mary Worth is? Well, that's when you look in the mirror and say 13 times, "Mary Worth, Mary Worth, Mary Worth," and the demon will appear in the mirror. A young girl in Minneapolis who was playing Mary Worth, and the demon appeared in the mirror and came out of the mirror and played the piano for him. It's not unusual. Spiritualist churches have a piano player that a spirit will come play the piano for him. But then it went into this girl, 16 years old. She got up and left immediately and went down into the toughest part of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and attached herself to a pimp. And her parents would hear from her, hear occasionally, "Yeah, I saw Jeannie," because she used the word Jeannie, "I saw Jeannie on the street," and they would go down and they couldn't find her. And then somebody would tell them a month later, yeah, it was in this section, that section, those sections, and they kept looking, they had the police looking, and they just never found her. Minneapolis is a big place. But she was working as a prostitute on the street. And so we held a prayer meeting and fasted for a week. And God sent the angels and brought that girl back. And then we prayed for her. Broke that thing. Drove it out. She said that the minute that spirit came into her, she felt like she trained all her life to be a prostitute. And she went down and attached herself. And she came back. And the hardest thing they had to trouble was the church. She was now 18 years old, and nobody would have any in the church would have anything to do with, or let their daughters have anything to do with that girl who'd been a whore on the street for 2 years. They had to move to California and start over again. And that's the sad thing about the church. That's the sad thing. They shoot the wounded. They shot the wounded girl. Praise your Lord Jesus. Table tipping. Pendulum. I walked into the emergency room some years ago, and before the days of ultrasound, and I said, "Where is everybody?" And said, "Oh, well, so-and-so." Jeannie again. We'll say Jeannie. "Jeannie's doing her witchcraft." I said, "Oh, what's she doing?" "Well, whenever we get a pregnant person, and she takes a paper clip, and she bends it out, and she's got a point on one end and a bend on the other, and she hangs it over them. And if the crooked end, if the bend points to the head, it's a girl. If it points to the feet, it's a boy." "Always right, Dr. Noah. Everybody's watching it. Isn't it wonderful?" I said, "Yeah, it's witchcraft. It's called divination. It curses you for four generations. You go in there and watch that, you curse yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren." Yaw! That girl, that lady wouldn't speak to me after that. I didn't see her for a number of years. And then I saw her one day, and her hair was all out, and she was skin and bones. And I said, "Jimmy, what's wrong with you?" "I got cancer, Dr. Noah. I got cancer, and it's eating me alive. And I've been in chemo now. This is my last round." I thought, "Yeah, it looks like it." And she died about a week later. Devil killed her with cancer.
He gave her a spirit of divination. She was a young lady, 35 years old. It's unusual for a lady 35 years old to get cancer of the ovaries. But it killed her. She left three small children, teenagers. They were pre-teenage children. Don't get involved in witchcraft. That's all I can say to you. If you have been involved, we're going to confess sin, and then we're going to command these spirits to come out. We're going to have a mass deliverance service. Now, in a mass deliverance service, demons, spirits, are air. In Greek, the word is pneumo, which, from which we get pneumatic tire and pneumonia. It means wind. And in Hebrew, I think it's raka, which means breath. And they come out of the breathing passages generally. They'll come out as a yawn. They'll come out as a cough. They'll come out as a sigh. Sometimes they come out as a scream. Sometimes you will vomit. When I got delivered right over there, the thing came out and it threw me on the floor and I vomited and I rolled in my own vomitus. And I was just about that time, I was about ready to get up and he called another one out and again. That's fine. Don't worry about your dignity. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. You gotta choose between your dignity and your demons. Let the demons go. You can get your dignity back. Folks around you ain't worried about your demons. They're worried about their own. Don't go looking around when you hear something happen. You just think about your demons and try to get your demons out. Don't pray in tongues. Keep both feet flat on the floor. Remember when you were a little child, you said, I didn't have to tell the truth because I had my fingers crossed, had my thumbs crossed, had my toes crossed. Well, if you got limbs crossed, the devil says, she don't mean that. She got her legs crossed. So put both feet flat on the floor. The devil is a legalist. He will use every legal excuse not to come out. And so we don't want to give him any legal excuses. And let them go. In the name of Jesus, just let them go. If you think you're going to throw up, throw up. We'll give you some paper. We'll put some paper towels over it and clean it up. We don't care. We want your demons to come out. Just let what happens happen. Sometimes nothing happens. You'll just yawn a little bit. Or you'll feel like a weight has been lifted off of you. Some people cater to manifestations. I used to minister into a church where the minister, the pastor of the church, felt that if there was no manifestation, the demon didn't come out. And boy, I mean, he had manifestation. He had people holding folks down all over the place. 5 or 6 people holding folks on the floor. Glenn and I don't believe in that. Glenn and I believe that God has given us authority over them, and I can hold that person on the floor with my finger. I don't let folks hold them. Now, if they get up and run, it ain't the demon. It ain't the demon. It's their flesh. Praise you, Lord God. I've had people sit in these chairs and scream, Satan, get me out of this chair! Because I bind them in a chair by the Spirit of the living God. So they can't get up. And that demon can't get up. Right now, I bind you all of the Spirit of the living God. But first, we better stand up and get circulating first. You know, get the blood up out of your feet. Get the blood up out of your feet and out of your fannies. Come on, jump up and down and praise God a little bit. Praise Him, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. We praise You and we bless You and we glorify You, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Am I the only one going to praise God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we praise You and we bless You and we glorify You, Lord. In Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord God. You know, I could talk on for about 3 hours about this, but I think I've covered all the pertinent points. There's so much that can be told. In the name of Jesus, repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. Was raised for my justification. Ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I have been accepted into Beloved.
I am a redeemed child of God. My citizenship is in heaven. I am in this world, but not of this world. I am an ambassador of the Most High God. I have the authority to call on the armed forces of the kingdom of heaven to come to my defense. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I call on you now. Send the angels to bind up these things and haul them off. Set me free, Lord, that I might worship you, glorify you, be obedient to you, bear fruit to you, that your name might be glorified. Oh, I thank you, Lord God. I confess my sin and the sin of my ancestors. I break the curses. I repent of these sins under the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I break the curses of incest, whoredom, illegitimacy, witchcraft, sorcery, divination, returning evil for good, poverty, the vagabond, and any other curses placed on me by any person, living or dead, in the name of Jesus. I break all ungodly soul ties to my mother, to my father, to anyone else I've ever had sex with out of matrimony, or who has dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. Lord Jesus, I confess that there are certain people that I resent. Lord, I forgive them. I ask you, Lord God, to touch me with the gift of forgiveness. Set me free. I don't want revenge, Lord. Revenge is yours. I ask you to bless them, Lord. Bring them to salvation in the name of Jesus and set me free. Lord Jesus, I bind all these spirits in your name. I confess all these sins under your blood. Your word says, if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Your word says, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. In Jesus' name, I have bound these things, and I command them to leave according to the word of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now everybody sit down. Now I'm going to start calling out spirits. And just listen to what I say and agree with me and say, if it's in there, I want it out. And push it out. Don't pray in tongues. Don't talk. Use your mind. Set your mind on it. And command it to go. It's like having a baby. Push it out. And let whatever happens, happens. If you cough, cough. If you sigh, you sigh. If you yawn, you yawn. If it comes out as a scream, let it go. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I come to you from them now, Lord God. And I break the curse of rejection over them in Jesus' name. They are not a rejected people, Lord. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. They have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. The mortgage, the ransom has been paid. They have been made accepted in the Beloved. They are children of the living God. They are not rejected children. God is their Father. In the name of Jesus, I bind rejection. I bind the spirit of pride and haughtiness now in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of macho pride. Come out now, all the macho spirits. Come on out, all pride spirits. Come out, all rebellion in the name of Jesus. I come out with all rebellion and stubbornness. I bind the stubborn spirit, the rebellious spirit, the scorning spirit
in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I bind it and I break your power, witchcraft. I bind you in Jesus' name. I isolate witchcraft. I isolate you from all of the spirits. You can draw no power or authority from any other spirit. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to line up by rank and file and come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break bondage, bondage to fear, bondage to spirits, bondage to witchcraft. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break witchcraft fear, bondage fear in the name of Jesus. For God said He didn't give us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Fear, all you Hittite devils, I bind you and I command you to be gone. All spirits of fear and inferiority, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Command you to go. All divination spirits, all Ouija spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Ouija, I speak to you. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out, Ouija. Come on out, all the Ouija spirits, all the divination spirits, all the pendulum spirits. Come out, all the fortune-telling spirits, all the horoscope spirits. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave. Leave God's people. I bind all witchcraft, witchcraft mind control. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, all dominating spirits, come out. All spirits of domination, all spirits of witchcraft, all spirits of Jezebel, I come against Tikai. Tikai, I speak to you. I bind you now. You leave God's people. Come on out, Tikai, Kalai. Come on out, Kalai, Tikai, Singai. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come on out, Sikai, Tikai, come by, come out. Come out, Iris, come out, Semeraris, come out, Semeraris. I bind all of you in the name of Jesus. Diana, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. I command you to go. Go, go, go. Jezebel, where is your kingdom, Jezebel? Come on out, Jezebel. Jezebel, I speak to you. I bind you and I break your power now. I send the hornets from heaven. I send the hornets from heaven to sting you, the stinging plague to utterly destroy you. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse in the name of Jesus. They don't want you anymore. They want you to leave. You can't stay here anymore now. You must go in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power. I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Go. Go now. I come against the spirits of fear, grasshopper spirits now, the spirit of the grasshopper. We were working as grasshoppers in our own eyes and grasshoppers in their eyes. They had tall towers and big folks, and we were afraid of them. Come on out. We can't take the land. Come out. We can take the land in the name of Jesus. All the grasshopper spirits, spirits of inferiority, come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out, inferior spirits. I'll never be good enough to do that. Come on out. Come on out. I'll never be good enough. Come on out. Come on out. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. All the spirits will say that I can't be good enough. You're not good enough to do that. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anxiety in the heart brings depression. I speak to the spirit of heaviness now. Go. Go, all fear, go. I release the spirit of praise, for He gave us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. I bind you and I break your power. You can't torment God's people anymore. He gave us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We might be a tree of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. You leave God's people now. All spirits of discouragement, of loss of hope, to try to steal the hope in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of discouragement in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of stupor, the deaf and dumb demon in the name of Jesus Christ. It comes in from fear. Fear, deaf and dumb demons. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of deaf and dumb, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I come against the spirits of perversion now. Spirits of perversion, perverse spirits in the name of Jesus. Man-hating spirits, come out. Come out. Fear of women spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of women, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of men, I bind you. Leave God's people. Fear of men, leave God's people. I break your power in Jesus' name.
I break your power. You leave God's people now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Go. All spirits of fornication, go. 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 All stubbornness, go. All overeating, go. All gluttony, go. In the name of Jesus Christ, go. Go. All spirits of desire to be rich, go. Go. Desire to earn, go. 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 In the name of Jesus, all false prosperity teachings, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All spirits of false prosperity, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Unbiblical prosperity, go. All desires to be rich, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All spirits of poverty now, all vagabond spirits, so the vagabond can't stay, gotta move, go, 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 never happy, go, go. All the spirits of the vagabond, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Go, all you spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ, all spirits of bitterness now, I pull out the root of bitterness. In the name of Jesus, I'll pull it out.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.